time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Groves Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels, it's time for the Green Country Gardener.
And a good Saturday morning to you. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. Joining me is the man with the emerald thumb himself, Larry Glass. It's time for the Green Country Gardener program here on the radio. Numbers to call if you have any questions, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, how are you doing this morning?
Fine, fine. I look out the window and say, what is that?
What is it?
What is that? Sunshine. What did we do? I guess we have sunshine.
We've had way too much rain lately. As you were kind of mentioning before the program, it's been kind of scattered out this month compared to last May. But
This last month in May, we had 6.4 inches of rain.
Jeez.
The average is 5.3, so we had a bit more rain. Next month, though, our average is June, is 5.4. So if this trend continues... Well, enjoy the sunny weather.
Yeah, enjoy it. It's going to be here all week.
Yay.
The highs will almost be near 90, too.
I can actually walk through people's jar without slipping. So.
Yeah. Huh. That's a good point, too. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the weather is warming up, and of course, when the weather warms up and all that, in come those little critters who just really enjoy ruining our landscapes, insects, what? Mites and things, yes.
Oh, what kind of mites and things? You were saying mites and things?
Mites,
okay.
Yeah, mites, yeah.
So how do you take care
watch
of
out for those. Well, there you can use pyrethroids are the best thing for mites. Really, mites are arachnids rather. They're not insects per se, so insecticides typically don't work on them.
Okay.
So we use neem oil's effective on them. Pyrethrins are effective on them, and dormant oil, a light summer oil, is effective on them too. So it's something we have to watch out. I use soapy water at home. Works fine.
Okay.
So. Keeps them under control. So that's going to be coming up. So watch your plants very carefully. Do the white paper test, and you might want to do this occasionally on your boxwoods and your spruce. The boxwoods are looking great right now. It's been relatively cool, and they don't have any mite problems, and they don't smell yet. But that's going to happen soon. So
okay,
keep in mind the mite has a very short gestation period. And their populations quickly increase exponentially. So before it gets to be a problem, you might want to do what you can to keep it under control. And just some simple soapy water or some neem oil or something on them occasionally will help keep the mite populations under control, and you won't have the stink.
True. And how does soapy water work with that, though? I'm kind of curious.
It works physiologically by smothering the insect.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
It coats the exoskeleton. They breathe through their skin, and it coats it, and I can't breathe. They kind of die, you know. So anyway, so that's kind of happening too. Fungus will also be a problem on fescue lawns. So you got to watch those fescue lawns. Don't water them too much. I see people's irrigation systems unconsciously watering, and that isn't totally necessary. So
like it's been raining enough. You don't need it.
You don't need it, yeah. I know it's moisture sensors they're kind of expensive, and their reliability is a little bit sketchy. But we are installing, we do irrigation systems now, beehive timers, which gather information from the National Weather Service and regulate how you water, depending on the slope, the type of soil, the kind of plants, the current moisture content, and so on. And it uses this technology, like they were talking about previously.
Yes. we didn't mention it in the show previously.
To basically make assumptions on how much water is needed. So, but the important thing is to have all the inputs on it proper and make sure you have a good internet connection.
that'll be helpful, but technology is quite a great thing, isn't it?
Uh-huh. But what I really like about this particular one is you can control it with your phone.
Okay.
Anywhere.
So I could be away to, like, say, Colorado, and I can just access it from my...
It could be in Tahiti if the internet connection's good.
It's a wonderful place. Magical place, I heard.
Oh, really? Never been there.
I haven't either. I've just heard.
But anyway, so you can control it that way. And what I really like about this thing is, instead of going in and out of the garage, in and out to test the circuit, you can go to where that circuit is, pull it up on your phone, hit the test button, and psh, it goes. So you don't, no more of this walking back and forth. You can walk around the yard and test each one that way and really see what's going on with it. So it's a very helpful tool in that case. You don't have to use the internet on it, but I do like the versatility of being able to test and observe the operation of your sprinkler system without having to walk 100 miles to back and forth to the garage to do that.
That's accurate. That'd be very helpful.
That's pretty cool. You don't have to worry about rain sensors. They still make one for that, it does gather, once it connects to your Wi-Fi, it does gather information from the weather service. So it knows when raining is anticipated and then how much rain has actually happened. And it puts these algorithms together with your soil type you enter into it and the amount of rain we've had, and it changes the timing based on that. So pretty cool. I really like that stuff. And I've done it with some customers, and they really like them.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, though. You don't set time on the timer. You don't set when it starts. It just knows.
Well, it's time.
And you don't have to worry about it. It just knows. And I was real skeptical at first that this isn't going to work. So the guy gave me one to hook up to my drip system at home. And it does. It works. So anyway, most frequently asked question of the week is, why are parts of my tree dying off?
Okay.
I went to somebody's house, and she has a bunch of maple trees. And little bit of damage here and there on them. And coincident with each one of those was some damage on the bark. And also secondarily coincident to that was it was all facing the same direction.
Huh.
And then you pull the bark off and there's all kinds of borer channels and stuff under there. Mm. So what you have is a classic case of borers. And the tree has been a few years when it started, and the tree has since then begun healing up. And I said this donut-shaped healing tissue will close in on itself, and it'll encapsulate the wound, if you will, and you'll have a bit of a hollow tree. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a weaker tree, because it'll continue to increase, and the wood in there really won't decompose any more than it already has. So okay, cool.
Well, I was thinking with the borers too. You were saying that the tree kind of heals itself. Do you have to do anything else to kind of help it through that process, or does it just kind of?
There's not a lot you really can do. You really don't want to use any tar spray or tree wound dressing on that, because as that heals over the wound,
mm-hmm.
like that,
okay,
it touches itself. And the tissues are a little bit different than they are in the regular bark, and they actually meld together. Mm-hmm. And then once they're together, the bark forms on the outside and it turns back to normal.
So people can kind of tell too. You were kind of cupping front knuckles together.
Your hands like this, and it grows and grows, and they touch each other. Then it heals up, and then it makes a seamless repair on the damage over there. So they will heal themselves. So
just give it time.
Give it a little bit of time. They're pretty good about recovering and all that. The important thing is, though, on your maple trees and other trees, if they had damage from borers, typically that means they're not getting enough nutrients. And you might consider upgrading your either non-existent or rather skimpy fertilizing program. So you can look at the amount of growth they're putting on every year and see if maples grow fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're just kind of stalled out on their growth, perhaps they just need some extra nutrients.
Okay.
So tree fertilizer. Do that in the spring and the fall.
Okay. Why not in the summer? Well, obviously the winter, but why not the summer?
You really don't want to. They typically don't grow then.
Okay.
And you don't want to encourage that too much. So usually you fertilize in the spring, and the fall gives it the little boost through the winter.
Okay.
Gets the fertilizer down deep in where it needs to be, and then you follow up with the spring application. So to keep the and don't just put it right on the trunk. You have to go around the drip line around the tree. The drip line is the furthest point out from the tree branches.
Okay.
And typically, that's where your feeder roots are on a tree, is out at the drip line. And that's where you need to concentrate your fertilizing. Anything towards the tree from there, not anything, but most of what you put between the drip line and the beginning of the tree is not really being utilized, because at that point, the tree is using it primarily for storage and structure to hold the tree up in our howling winds.
Definitely in Oklahoma. So, thankfully, it's been too windy lately.
So
but yeah,
closer to the tree, it's for for strength, for structure to hold it up. That's a big sail up there. If you consider all the surface area of those leaves and you get a 50-mile-an-hour wind on them, that's one heck of a lot of stress. And they tolerate that very well, actually, for them to not just fall over. So there's a lot of strength down there with those roots. And those roots are used for that. And they also use it for storage of water and carbohydrates and so on. So,
anyway,
our horticultural lesson for today. We got a caller?
I think we do, Larry. You want to take that call really quick?
Sure.
Good morning, caller. You're on the Green Country Gardener Program. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. Got a question for Larry.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 of my tomato plants curled up real tight at the top. The leaves did. What caused that?
That's could be a couple things. It could be, actually 3 things. When it's cool like this, that exhibits probably a cool-induced potassium deficiency. And that could be a problem with it. It's also associated with a little bit of a purplish color of the stems.
Mm, didn't see much of that.
Okay. But well,
from the distance, it looked like I had bugs on the top until I walked over and looked at them.
Yeah. And mites can cause that problem too, but I don't know if that's a problem because we really haven't had too much hot weather for the mites, but you might still have some. You might look real close, get your magnifying glass out, look real close at the leaves and see if there are some mites. They will cause some distortion like that. And thirdly,
I used the white paper trick, and I couldn't get anything moving whatsoever.
Okay, then you're all right on that. And it could also be this moisture-related fungus and whatnot, too. Mildew, powdery mildew and stuff could be on it. Use insecticide, not insecticide soap, but a neem oil. You want to be very careful. Be careful what you apply on your tomatoes because they are kind of sensitive.
Well, the neem oil, will it make any difference as far as the pollinators come along and pollinate flowers?
It can. You might want to apply it late in the evening or very early in the morning so it's more or less dried up when your insect activity picks up a little bit during the day.
Would it hurt any to go ahead and trim them back a little bit? It just happened right on the top.
Not at all. Another thing, if you have used any Roundup nearby, they are extremely sensitive to glyphosate.
Yeah, I don't. I try to be real careful about that, and I cannot think of where I got close with any of that around there. But
and herbicides, any herbicides about any kind, weed killers, they're very, very sensitive to those. So,
okay, all righty, but it wouldn't hurt. I mean, I've got plenty of foliage. I've got tomatoes on the bottom side, but it wouldn't hurt if I docked them on the top and just cut that off.
It really wouldn't hurt at all, no. It's something that after we get some good hot weather, it'll probably just grow through it.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think you'll be all right in the long run. But in light of the weather conditions we've had, it's probably fungal related.
Okay. Dry weather will take care of it.
You bet.
Thank you, Larry.
Be sure to mulch those tomatoes right now.
They're already mulched.
Good deal. That's probably why they're doing well.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
And if you would like to call in today, feel free to do so. The number is 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Larry, I think we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generator for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants, as they have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants, too. And now, every Wednesday through June is discount day. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20-plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
This is Laura Walton with Martha's Task. We love Bartlesville Radio. Every time we advertise, we always have a big boost in business as radio gets results.
Radio gets results.
Radio.
Radio gets results. That's radio.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program on the radio. Hopefully you're having a great Saturday morning so far. It's 8:24. If you want to talk to Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, ask him any gardening questions, feel free to call in 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Larry and I would love to hear from you this morning. Again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, we just got off the phone with a gentleman asking about tomatoes. Is there anything else that people should know about?
Yes. Can you wash these hats?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's years and years of perspiration. It's on this hat, and it looks really nasty.
I don't know. I bet you could.
You can wash a hat or not. I never really tried. Nothing ventured. So anyway, insects on your tomatoes. Yeah, watch out for these little caterpillars going after them too. Look also at the size of the leaves of your tomatoes. They look really average. They should look really healthy and stocky right now if your plants are happy. Mm-hmm. If they're kind of spindly, maybe with all the rain, the soil is compacted a little bit and the root system can't develop properly. So you might consider a very shallow cultivating of the soil. And when is that done, you might consider also putting a layer of mulch on the surface. It does help keep that soil a little bit looser on the surface, too.
Okay. And what does a leaf size say about the tomato plant, too?
It gives you an idea, leaf size, of the proper amount of nitrogen content. And just basically all of it. And also, it's a good indicator of the health of the root system. So if it's not really stocky and healthy at this point with fairly large leaves, and perhaps the precipitation has caused some compaction of the soil.
Okay. Larry, you know, it's okay. I think we have a caller if you want to get to that.
Okay, cool.
Good morning, caller. How can we help you?
Okay, thank you. I have, I think it's called tall phlox.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
And a lot of white powdery stuff on it. I think that's what I've done some research, and I think that's what's called powdery mildew.
That's correct.
It seems to be an annual problem with it. Any help here?
Yeah, you can use any fungicide. It's really easy to control. Copper fungicide works real well. And we, over the years, have carried nothing but mildew-resistant varieties of summer phlox. So there are
obviously
some,
these are not mildew resistant.
Yeah, yeah. We recognized that a long time ago. And when we do when we grow our phlox, we pick only those that are mildew resistant. So, a copper fungicide is relatively non-toxic. It's not full of all these things that'll alter stuff, whatever. So if you know what I mean, it's effective in controlling the powdery mildew.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
All right, thank you. Okay, another thing that's really coming into bloom right now are the oak leaf hydrangeas. Oak leaf hydrangea is one that will actually bloom in Oklahoma.
One of the few.
One of the few, yeah. But I was at a house yesterday, and her hydrangeas were really starting to bloom. So I really think with all the rain and the cooler weather, which is what the moisture and the cool weather really like, the hydrangeas are going to start to bloom pretty soon, just in time for to get hot and kill all the flowers.
Yeah.
But no, oak leaf hydrangea does very well as far as giving you some blooms are concerned. It's it's either an ugly plant or it's a pretty plant, depending on how you look at it.
Okay. So,
but it's an interesting plant. Oak leaf hydrangea is. And as the name implies, the leaves are somewhat oak leaf in shape. And they grow, and then the flowers are on vertical panicles above the plant. And oh, there's one around the corner from me that really, I know the people never do anything to it.
It just kind of thrives on its own.
Judging from
the
way everything else looks. But this one is really blooming nicely. So it's kind of a thrive on neglect kind of plant.
That's cool.
And, I planted some in the landscapes, and people really do like them. Once you get established and all that, they're kind of ugly to begin with, but you have to be patient with them to get them established.
What other hydrangeas thrive in Oklahoma?
There's another one called Bobo,
okay,
which is a paniculata type of hydrangea, and it blooms pretty much all summer long, and a good dense shrub, if you will. And it takes a year or two for it to get established as well. Hydrangeas are just that way. They have to get established. You can hasten the establishment process by having an extended preparation around the plant so the roots can grow out. But they do like water. So, but not the oak leaf and the bobos in parallel, so that they're not necessarily super feeders of water like the macrophyllas are. So,
I'm curious too, where did the bobo get the name? I'm kind of that kind of throws me off a little bit.
I guess they could have named it Edsel.
They could have.
But no, Bobo is just it's a good name, I guess. It described it. Lots of little bubbles of blooms. So,
okay.
You know, Bobo the clown kind of thing.
Say, oak leaf is pretty standard. You understand oak leaf, what oak leaf, but a Bobo, I've just never. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some others like that. It's just a name, and it's very catchy.
Yeah, it is catchy.
By doing that, they could people can identify it pretty easily too. So it's a good plant, and I've used it in several cases in landscapes, and it's been a success.
Cool.
In our varying weather here. So
awesome, yeah.
When we're so diametrically opposed from one day to the next.
Now we just got sunshine for a while.
Torrential rain and hot sunshine. Come on. But anyway.
You were talking earlier about burrows and mites being problematic. I think bagworms are also probably pretty bad.
Bagworms, here it is, almost June. The bagworms will be coming out. The bagworms start out really, really small, and they kind of hide because they sort of surround themselves with parts of the leaf when they're young like that. Mm-hmm. And last year they attacked, they were very specific with the infestation. It wasn't so broad spread. It was very, very specific to particular plants. Yeah, and as it was the year before. Mm-hmm. With all the rain and all the tender growth in the plants, we're due for a zinger of a year when it comes to bagworms. So watch them very carefully. BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, is very effective against the bagworms. Be careful, though, with the BT that you don't get it on butterfly habitats because it will knock them out, too. So you want to be very specific with your applications of BT and go towards the juniper species, to which the butterflies are not attracted, and that should keep them under control. The good thing about the BT is it is a spore, a bacterial spore. It's what stays resident in the plant for a long period of time. It can even survive a rain or two. So okay. It has kind of a long-term effect.
Awesome. Yeah. Where would you basically apply it? Just on the, like at the base of the tree?
Just on the foliage.
Okay.
On the foliage. It also works against elm leaf beetle, the larval stage of the elm leaf beetle. It works against those two. Any, basically the insect in the larval stage is what it controls. And the bagworms represent the larval stage of an insect.
Okay.
So, pretty simple solution. You have to be proactive and be observant.
Can't just wait. Can't wait it out. Now I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it I'll next do, week. I have to do it right now.
All right, it looks all right. Looks all right. Dawson. Uh-oh.
What happened to you?
And as the bagworm insect progresses, it shields itself with a cocoon around it, and it gets more and more difficult to control. Mm. So that's why early applications and kind of knowing when it really begins to be there helps a whole lot in controlling this particular insect.
Awesome. What other insects are becoming problematic at this time of the year?
The tent caterpillars will be coming out pretty soon. I was at a house this week, and they're starting to grow in some of her plants. So we haven't had a bad year for a couple of years on those. So they typically recur cyclically, so that is probably going to happen this year. So we want to be very conscious of the of the appearance of your trees. Pecan trees are susceptible to that, and if they get real bad, everything gets it. So even even the roofs of your house, they crawl in your car too, whatever. Eat the insulation.
Oh my gosh!
No, they don't do that. But they can. They run out of leaves and they jump off and they go to something else.
They just spread like wildfire if you're not careful.
Exactly. Yeah. Very slowly, but they're fairly easy to control in the young stage.
We are talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, here on the Green Country Gardener program on this Saturday. It's 8:33, 65 degrees. We have sunny skies. We're going to take a quick break real quick. We'll be right back with your Green Country Gardener program.
This is Daryl Wooten, pastor of Spirit Church, inviting you to join us each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 for church services on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Spirit Church is a place of love, joy, and peace, and we pray you'll receive all three during each Sunday's broadcast. Tune in each Sunday on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 at 9:30.
It's Peter's True Value Bargains of the Month in May. Right now, get a Techner Apex 0G 50-foot garden hose for $29.99. Fire up the grill with Kingsford Original Charcoal, just $17.99 for a 2-pack. GE has 4-pack light bulb for $19.99 each. Keep your shop or garage clean with a 5-gallon heavy-duty wet dry vac for $39.99. And Peter's has Miracle-Gro plant food and potty mix for $7.99 each. After a $3 instant in-store rebate. Shop Peter's True Value in Dewey and Save. Offers good through May 31st.
Storm alert. Everybody has to be prepared.
When the skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using radar and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters, along with the meteorologists from KOTV News on 6, are dedicated to keeping your family safe. Keep a battery-operated radio close, and when severe weather strikes, go to a safe place and tune in to K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3 for immediate coverage.
Brought to you by
Patriot Chevrolet, Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Record Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rentals, Green Country Restoration, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance, Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern at K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3.
And we're back with the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. Joining me in the studio is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, taking your gardening questions this morning and telling you what's happening and basically every aspect of the yard, the garden. You know, if you have any questions, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry and I would like to talk to you this morning. Again, that's 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, I know for me, I need to mow my yard for sure, but what do people need to know about their lawn moving forward?
First of all, on your lawn, at this point in time, you need to check the sharpness of the blade of your lawnmower.
Okay.
Yeah, I said, okay. How do I do that?
How do you do that?
Well, you look at it and look at the edge of it, and if it's a good sharp edge on it, then it's probably okay.
Okay.
But it doesn't need to be sharpened on occasion. If you want the grass to really look nice. If you don't, it kind of chews the grass rather than cuts it, and it causes an appearance issue, especially with fescue grass.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard fescue especially has a problem with the appearance on that if the blade is not sharp. So it's time to do that and get a blade balancer too when you sharpen your blade.
Okay.
So you don't have it going like this. Yeah, my mother will work straight away. You know?
Get the shakes.
Yeah, this is a workout. But make sure that your blade is sharpened and it's balanced at this point, too.
Okay.
And air cleaners, too. I had to pull the air cleaner off mine and knock some of the grass off of it, too. So make sure the mower's in good shape. Also, time also to raise the grass up a little bit. Traditionally, this time of year, as you can see on the chart, the grass is going to or the water, the rainfall is going to start to go down. Although in March we have typically a tenth of an inch more rain than in June we have typically a tenth of an inch more rain than we do in May. Hmm. So
the rain's coming then, is what you're saying.
So the rainy season's not over yet. It's peaking out. And then in July we have about 3 inches of rain and so on. But anyway, so it's kind of mid-season almost, so you want to make sure the mower's up to shape, air cleaner, all that other stuff. And time to raise that mower up, that grass blade up a notch, too.
Okay.
Because as it gets hotter like this, the grass needs more surface area for it to transpire to help it keep cool so it doesn't stress out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what level would you say that you need the
about
mower
two
at?
Inches.
Okay.
At this point, fescue grass needs to be at its maximum state right now. So the mower should be just about all the way up with training wheels on it even. Because as it gets hot, it does need that surface area to help transpire, keep it cool.
I heard the training wheels help with the shaking a little bit. No, I'm kidding.
No, not really. I guess you can wear big, thick gloves. So
just to absorb it, yeah.
You are going to, ooh. But anyway, so it's time to kind of raise the mower up a little bit. Also, for maintenance fertilization, if you haven't fertilized your yard in 30 days, it's time for kind of a maintenance fertilization also. Also, we've had a lot of rain, as we all know, and that kind of thins out the effectiveness of the crabgrass control.
Okay.
So you can get a late infestation of crabgrass, so you might consider a light application of crabgrass control to keep that from happening. I noticed a little bit coming up in my yard.
Larry.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
But anyway, so I would probably go with another application of a light application of the Baylan or crab, if you got some crabgrass control, that'll help keep it under control. Yeah. So time to also cut back on the fertilization on the fescue grass. You don't really want it to be growing very much right now. It needs to get itself ready for summer. So because if it's cool, you can still plant some sod. Okay, that's no problem. But in 30 days, forget it. So, but make sure you keep the moisture levels up on your fescue grass, and don't fertilize it too much at this point.
Okay.
Should do okay. Zoysia grass, kind of the same with Bermuda grass. Let it get a little bit taller, and then should be okay. Zoysia grass traditionally is a little lighter in color than the Bermuda grass, and you can alleviate that. And darken that color with some iron sulfate. I use the iron sulfate on my grass, and it keeps it a real dark green color.
Looks a little bit more lush that way, probably.
Yes, very very dark bluish, almost a bluish green color. I find that kind of attractive. So
yeah, it'd be pleasant on the eye to drive by and see. Yeah. Yeah. Or look out on your yard and see.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Maybe identifies the crabgrass a little bit more. It's like, oh, I see right. That crabgrass.
And also weeds, at this point, the weeds should be pretty well under control, just a spot treatment. People have been having a hard time with foxtails, and they're going to die out here pretty soon. I just, you can spray them. I just take a claw hammer and pull them up. They pull up pretty easily.
Okay.
Throw them in a 5-gallon bucket. I got 10 gallons of foxtails I pulled up a couple weeks ago. Hmm. And it's pretty simple. Just snap them out of the ground. Yeah. And they're kind of a pain in the neck. And they can really increase that. And I notice people's yards that are close to open fields, for instance, have a real problem with this. Mm-hmm. And you can alleviate that with a pre-emergent herbicide in the fall to control that. Seems kind of odd. What am I controlling weeds for in the fall? Well, most of them come up in the fall. And
right.
They stay resident all winter long, and then they bloom out and have seeds in the spring for the next generation, the next year. So
prevent the spread.
Yeah. So you want to use proper applications of pre-emergent herbicides. So I wouldn't worry about it too much right now. The summer weeds are up, and the Poa annua, which is an annual bluegrass, is starting to die out too from the change of temperature, increased sunlight. It signals it to go dormant. And all the seeds have been produced, and they're all pretty much dispersed right now at this point. So we're getting these little tufts of brown grass here and there. Hmm. Typically, that's the bluegrass, the annual bluegrass.
Right.
And it's already scattered its seeds for the next spring.
Interesting.
So, I mean, for the next fall, rather. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on. Nutgrass is a real problem right now with, and it's not really a grass, it's nut sedge. And quinclorac is the herbicide we use for that, a very specific application of that. Or do like I do, just ignore it when it gets hot. Don't water your grass so much, it'll die out.
That sun, man, it can be helpful sometimes.
Yeah. So I don't use that on my grass. I just let the Bermuda grass will take more drought than the nutsedge, and it will die out, and the Bermuda grass will prevail.
Okay.
So just tolerate a little bit for now. It'll die out when it gets drier.
Again, the subject for today seems to be that time makes everything better.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, and keep the yard well fertilized too. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and there's the guidelines are pretty simple. Typically, on your Bermuda grass, an application of a moderate nitrogen fertilizer in May, June, July, and August, and then late August, do a 10-20-10 or something, and then April, do a 10-20-10 on your Bermuda grass. That's about all you really have to do with nitrogen applications in the summer. Because okay. It is kind of a heavy feeder. The same goes with zoysia grass, about the same schedule, if you will. And if you want to deepen the color, get a fertilizer with some sulfur in it, or sulfur and iron in it. We have some at the nursery on the north wall. It's a Fertilome. And I experimented with this, and it made the yard just a beautiful dark green color. Mm-hmm. And it works rather well.
Awesome. We're speaking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. It is 8:44. I think we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back with more with Larry Glass and the Green Country Gardener Program.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. The Weatherline is brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants, as they have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants too. And now, every Wednesday through June is discount day. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday noon to 5.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. Here's a pressing question. Is belief in the afterlife a good thing or a bad thing? To put it another way, if someone believes in heaven and trusts they're going there, will they be more likely to serve or less? The answer might surprise you. I'll explore that topic during our next time of interactive prayer as we express gratitude to God and pray for the city we love. Please join us this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. here on KWN AM 1400 and FM 93.3, or on Facebook Live or kwntv.com. And if you'd like, you could download the new prayer outline by clicking the Pray for Our City button at bartlesvilleradio.com, and let's pray together for the life of our city.
This is an American Red Cross blood donation alert. The Red Cross has a critical need for blood donors to give now and help save lives. Download the Blood Donor app. Visit redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make an appointment today.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. Joining us in the studio this morning, as always, is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. If you have any questions for Larry, feel free to call in. 918-336-1400 is the number to call. You can also reach out to us on the toll-free number, 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, I think you have a spruce in mind that you want to talk about this morning.
Yeah, people occasionally have problems with bare or dying branches on a Colorado blue spruce tree, and they're commonly caused by a few different insect pests or one or more diseases. All of the problems can be caused by either drought stress, which is not the case right now, mm-hmm. Mechanical damage, backing into it with the lawnmower or the truck, you can cause that problem. Climatic conditions such as high humidity can cause this problem with it, and also poor soil conditions. The last two, which are very common in this neck of the woods.
It's true.
So if you have a situation where the soil is really heavy clay and doesn't drain very well, it's probably caused by the dying branches. It's probably caused by just heavy soil, and the tree just simply can't get enough nutrient or water to keep it going. Another thing is a high humidity. Spruce, I like to plant them in a very open situation. I don't like to use them as a hedgerow, if you will, because they tend to kind of die out. I was at a house this last week where they had a hedgerow of them, and they just looked just ugly because they were planted way too close together.
Right.
And crowding each other out. And on the north side of the tree, there were some issues with the branches not doing very well. And also there's a hot driveway and then a house over there. There's a lot of heat associated with this one particular area. And as a result, it's sort of dying out. They're not overly attractive. So anyway, be sure to keep in mind, you know, how big they get also when you plant one. That's probably the biggest mistake people made.
How big do they get, Larry? I'm
it's
curious.
It's eating the house. What?
Yeah. Where did the house go?
Yeah, there's a spruce back there somewhere. So there are, however, small growing varieties of spruce trees. There's one that's called Totem, which is a fastigiated form. Ooh. Fastigiated is kind of Latin for growing upright. So you might consider, if you want a spruce by the house, you might consider an upright growing spruce.
All right.
One that has specifically upright growing branches and doesn't get so wide and big.
Awesome. And Larry, I do think we have a caller line, so we'll take that right now. Good morning, caller. How can we help you?
Good morning. I've got a pecan tree that's got an old limb broke off on it, and it's at the edge of the tree, there's a big hole now, and it's starting to rot off down the inside the tree. How can I fix something like that?
Oh, boy, that's a tough call there. Probably the best thing you can do is cut off all the broken wood and try to get a smooth cut on it fairly close to the trunk. And if you do that to where you don't have a stump, the tree should grow around and encapsulate that wound.
Actually, it's down in there about a foot now. It's rotted out that far down in there. So, is there anything to fill in there?
Is it a really old tree?
Yes, really old.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose it.
Yeah. I don't know if filling it in would help. You can try maybe some expandable foam in there. But I wouldn't put concrete in. Because when it finally dies, they'll have a hard time cutting it down. But anyway,
right.
So I've heard of people using expansion foam in there. Sometimes that can cause more problems, really, than actually filling it in because it can't really dry out in there. So clean it out. My best advice would be to clean it out as much as possible. But you can put something in there to fill in the gap. And it might help it out.
Right. The problem is in the wintertime, it fills up full water and stuff, and then it freezes.
Well, in that case, there's some physical damage involved with that, so you might want to go ahead and fill it then.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for calling. And when you do that, make sure to clean out as much of that dead stuff as you can. So. Okay, cool. Anyway, where are we? We're on the Colorado blue spruce.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Correct.
And they also, spruce can get some aphids or the coulee spruce gall algalid. It's It's an insect that they look pretty close to each other. And they can cause some problems with your spruce tree also. Aphids are the most common pests. And to control them, the neem oil works pretty well. It won't harm the elm tree. Spruce tree, get it out. So actually you can spray them in January when the life cycle begins on the gall algid or a dormant oil in late October, early November. You really don't want to spray actively growing trees because it can cause them to burn. We got a phone call.
We do.
All right, very good.
Good morning, caller. How can we help you?
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
The guy with the problem with the trunk damage.
Yeah.
Like you said, he needs to clean that out real good, get all that bad material out of there.
Yeah.
And saturate it with some kind of insecticide. You can even put some granules in there just for future use.
Yeah.
And what I like to do a lot of times, if you've got one of those that's created a pocket to where it doesn't drain out or doesn't dry out, I'll drill up from an angle
uh-huh.
upwards and put a piece of pipe in there of, you know, just a piece of old half-inch galvanized pipe. Or, if it's possible, just take your chainsaw and cut you a slot down in there, maybe a little bit of a V
yeah.
down in there where it can drain out, and it'll drain out. And if you're concerned with the with what you fill it with, which I appreciate your concern there, because that concrete place, the concrete plays heck with chainsaws.
Yeah, it does, yes.
Anyway, well, take some hardware cloth
uh-huh.
and cut it and staple it over that hole. Okay?
Okay.
And that'll keep the vermin from getting in there. The bad thing about it is the squirrels will get in there, and they'll do more damage than good. And everybody likes to watch them well-dressed rats tear their trees up.
Yeah,
but like
right.
I said, you know, I would cover with some hardware cloth and get some small staples enough to hold it on there.
Yeah.
All right?
That sounds good advice.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Russ.
Have a good day, Larry.
You
Bye.
Too, now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting advice from a professional. Okay. Anyway, enough for the spruce and all that. Let's talk about what's going on at the nursery.
Okay.
We have a great selection of annuals and perennials. We have a lot of perennials and annuals that the hummingbirds like and that the butterfly like, too.
Oh, wow.
Varieties of lantana and some others, that salvia and whatnot, that they really like too well. So just come by and check it out. Say, I want something for hummingbirds or something. And then we can lead you the right way.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, and a good selection of annuals. The sun patients are starting to come out. They really like the warm weather. And we haven't had much of that yet. So.
Well, we're getting pretty close there, aren't we, Larry?
But once it starts to warm up, they're really going to take off. So it's been kind of a slow start this year. And fortunately, though, the weather this week is going to be relatively mild mm-hmm. compared to what it can be in June in Oklahoma.
Right. But hey, we'll only have to wait and see what happens as the month continues to progress. We're all just getting started with June here in the next couple of days. But mm-hmm. Larry, I think we're going to take a quick break here on the Green Country Gardener program. We'll wrap things up after this.
Okie doke.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Woolla Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Woolla Rock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Woolla Rock.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
And we're back with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, here on the Green Country Gardener program. We are in the final minutes of the program. And Larry, what can you tell me? What's going on at the nursery?
Hey, Bert, so hummingbirds are here. So you want a plant we talked about earlier, a little minute ago. Plant salvia. They like those real well. Mm-hmm. Lantana, Monarda, honeysuckle. We do have some honeysuckle plants.
Okay.
And they're in bloom right now, too. We have some of the red honeysuckle and some yellow and whatnot. Petunias, pentas, and actually azaleas, they like pretty well. We have the encores and the bloomathons. They bloom on occasion, too. Butterfly bush, well, of course, that goes without saying. And acanthus, flowering quince early in the spring. Mimosa trees, we do have some mimosas. Weigelia, and cypress vine, morning glory, scarlet runner beans, trumpet creeper, bee balm, or monarda, if you will. Cannas, hummingbirds and things like the canna plants, too. And cardinal flowers, columbines, you name it. Yucca, fuchsia, impatiens. They have apparently a rather broad base of likability as far as flowers are concerned. So
right.
Looks to me like you can't lose.
Right. It's a wide array. Just pick
but
one.
Really, the ones they really, really like are the lantanas.
Okay.
They really like those, and they really like honeysuckles, and they really like petunias and pentas, those kind of plants. They really do like a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to attract them, you need a fairly large bed of these flowers that attract the hummingbirds.
Right.
Because one or two of them, they just won't come in for that. There's just not enough there to get them, to really attract them. So you might consider putting them along the front of the house or somewhere where there's a lot of sunshine around your house and plant, get a whole flat of them rather than just one or two, because to attract them, it'll take quite a few flowers for it to work.
Awesome.
You might place out some hummingbird feeders around, too. That helps bring them in also. And also, when you plant your flowers, be sure to keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you, Larry Glass. This has been the Green Country Gardener Program on the radio. Thank you so much for listening to us. And again, thanks to Larry Glass for being in here every Saturday
You're
to tell us what
welcome.
We need to do and the garden and the lawn.
Come by the nursery and check it out. We've got a lot of stuff to look at.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville.